previously on Saving Throw. Our heroes saved the day and saved a friend, but not everyone made it out okay.
And the Asamir woman rises to her feet, looks to Marin and Les, and speaks. He's dead, and I can't bring him back.
And we return to the guild to find a message for the guildmaster.
But on the banner reads a message. Three lines repeating the same thing. The guildmaster...
We're here to contact you about your car's extended warranty.
He got me. He boomed me.
And our party got reamed for their little extracurricular mission.
Let me start off. I'm not mad. Insight check from everybody.
Do I need to do that if I'm just going to say that. I don't believe you anyway?
Yes!
Okay.
And now we finish up our intermission and get ready for the next arc of Saving Throw.
We're all leaving. As you're all leaving, Marin speaks again. Not so fast, not you, Alistair. You and I need to have a chat.
You gotta stay with the principal?
Sorry, lots of time, I know.
Kasira's like, what the fuck did I do? As you all exit the office besides Alistair, Kasira and Les goes with Jennifer and they have a chat. Kasira and Les also leaves with you. And Kasira calls out, Dr. Hemlock, Miss Wynn, may I borrow the two of you in Lady Ondahl's office?
That's fine.
The Asamir woman nods and begins to walk the opposite direction towards what is normally Darmay's office. And as she leads the way, she opens the door and gestures for you to enter, Chiron. And speaks, Wynn, just a moment, please. She notes before closing the door behind herself and Chiron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is Wynn not allowed to join us?
In a moment. I need the two of you separately. Darmay's office is quiet. The hanging magic light spheres lightly twinkle with magic as it becomes, I'm going to say, painfully quiet while Kasira moves across the room to look at something. But eventually, she speaks. Chiron, it has come to my attention. You were given an item by our dear Esper Drake in the reliquary. A certain dinner bell with an ability to call the dead back to our world for a time. To ask them questions and the like, assuming you are able to find their resting place. I trust you were informed of its secondary purpose.
Yes.
To call any dead from anywhere.
I have been informed, and it's something I have dwelled on for quite a while. Ever since I've gotten the item.
She nods. Truthfully, I wish you had not received it. But the Espers know more than even I. I'm sure there was a purpose you were handed the bell. Chiron, I have seen the bell rung, unfortunately, by a close friend. And I just want to say, as a mentor to a student, if you seek the end of a story in ringing that bell, just like the ghost that it calls, you will never be satisfied. It's not meant for that. And she extends her hand for the bell. May I?
Yeah, Chiron. It's weird because he's like, he wraps his eyes, but like somehow a tear goes through the mask and goes down the mask and kind of like imprints and stains on one of the sides as he's trying to like just hand it over to her.
She takes the bell.
He's shaking the entire time visibly too.
And she speaks again, holding the bell now. Please remember, the bell cannot call the same name twice. And with that, she calls a name. Cade. And rings the bell.
Fuck.
She rings the bell, and a dull, hollow ring falls out of it that seems to fall flat, where you would expect it to echo instead. And a moment passes, and nothing happens. And she repeats, the bell cannot call the same name twice. And as much as you may want to be the one to ring the bell and call them back for one more conversation, you might not be the person who needs that conversation the most. And with that, she returns the bell to you. I trust your judgment, Doctor. If you could please send Wynn in on your way out.
I'll do my best. and then I'll walk out and pat, like, Wynn. I don't even say anything to Wynn. I kind of just give her, like, a pat on the shoulder.
A nod, yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, a pat on the shoulder, I like that. We're going to jump back to Marin and Alistair.
Sure.
I liked you a lot better when you were just Alistair Noble Drifter, I think. She sits down at her desk.
Fuck.
Listen up. We've had plenty of kids come through here with that last name, and plenty of them, I never had to learn the real last name, and that was better for everyone involved. Last night, I went home. I wanted to make sure TL didn't break in and go looking for something in my house. And then, like an idiot, I went to sleep in my own goddamned bed. And when I woke up this morning, I walked back to the guild, and I met a man outside of the gates. A bald man. A bald man who looked a lot like you. You get where this is going.
Yes.
And Baron Carl Crestbreeze yelled at me. Yelled at me, not for failing to save the Emperor, not because my wife is a murderous magic-fueled abomination. He yelled at me that he wanted his son. He wanted to speak with his son. He wanted his son returned to Warmbray, and he wouldn't take no for an answer, and it was his right as both a father and a baron and blah, 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 blah. You know, Vessler's job, like the position, it exists solely so I don't have to listen to 90% of the complaints from the nobility, and also because I'm shit at talking to them. But here I was, being yelled at by your father in front of my own guild. So I told him if he didn't get out of my face, I would hit him so hard his skull wouldn't land in the capital.
Oh, I almost wish you did.
And shocking to me, he didn't back down. I didn't kill him. Don't worry. I just moved him. I will, yeah, just for the completion of it. Yeah, that's like just a regular guy yelling at Superman.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, the balls on this dude.
And he is used to getting his way.
And he wanted what he wanted so bad, he was willing to risk me punching him into another dimension to get it. I'm not going to tell you to reconcile with your dad. I don't know what your problem with each other is, and I probably don't care. And I'm certainly not in the right to tell anyone to sit down with their former loved ones and talk it over. We're all aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I will say. When you're in a situation like yours, it's like a knock at the door, and it seems like that knock isn't stopping. Someone just keeps banging on that door, and no matter what room of the house you hide in, you can still hear it. And Marin seems to calm from her anger a bit. And it feels like that knock isn't going away. And sometimes they knock for a day, sometimes it's a month, a year, sometimes they knock for 100 years. But eventually, if you don't answer that door, eventually the knocking will stop, Alistair. And once it does, you can never answer that door again. I'm not gonna tell you what's right and what's wrong. I can't. Neither can Vessler, neither can anyone else. But you have to decide for yourself if you wanna answer that knock or wait for it to go away forever.
Thank you. That,
Now get the fuck out of my office.
as you wish.
Hey, good scene. That was a good line.
Sierra and Wynn.
Yeah. I'll walk in feigning confidence, but I'm actually quaking in my sopping wet cowboy boots.
Okay, yeah.
Kasira's really good at insight, so I got bad news for you on this.
She's straight through you, bud. You walk in and Kasira moves to sit on one of the couches in Darmay's office and like gestures for you to do the same. Marin tells me you have formed a connection with Arale.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
I understand also you have seen Arale's memories. And I understand you have seen me in Arale's memories.
Yeah.
Wynn, what have I forgotten?
Would you like, oh, would you like me to remind you?
She was the one in that Arle mind wipe after telling her about shit, right?
Yes, exactly this.
I can't remember what Arle said, though.
So, specifically speaking, Arle brought Kasira to the island. Kasira gave her advice on the crystal seed that Arle had, and basically told her to get rid of it, because she couldn't figure it out, she didn't understand what it was, and she also urged Arle to return to the capital with Kasira to see everyone, and hey, maybe as a big guild family, we can figure this out together. And Arle then drugged Kasira and made her forget the conversation happened in the first place.
Yeah. And before I say anything, remind me, when I first, like, did this whole Arle journey with Darmé, Darmé was there in the sea with me, right?
So, in order, the times you have spoken to Arle, the very first time, you were on a boat with yourself, Darmé, and Marin.
Yes.
However, Marin couldn't fully materialize in the dream. And the second she tried to, everything went to shit. And then the boat was wrecked. The next time, you were in Strainmar, and Arle forcibly pulled you into the dream world to warn you that Teal was going to kill someone. Yes. And you and Arle, sorry, you could hear Arle, she could not hear you. The last time, you were piloting the boat by yourself. Darmé helped you cast the spell, but she was not present at all in the dream. And then you jumped onto the shore and spoke with Arle, and it was peaceable and nice. And then you just left the dream of your own accord. And then last time you entered the dream because you were knocked unconscious. And it wasn't regular Arle, it was like a half corrupted Arle who asked the question, why did she save you? And then you were woken up.
Yes. Okay. I wanted to know that because I want to say to Kasira, so I can tell you, and if you want to know, I can tell you, but perhaps with your help, and this might also need the help of another powerful magic user such as Darmé, but she's a little bit out of commission right now, we might be able to ask her. You might be able to ask her yourself, saying, like, maybe I can bring you into the dream with me.
Kasira offers, please try.
Okay, so just with the two of us.
Yes, I will note, as far as, like, powerful magic users go, Kasira's you're not getting better than that.
Yeah. all right, and I'll sit down, like, cross-legged on the floor, holding hands, like, in front of me, like, face-to-face with Kasira.
She does the same. She's not sitting on the floor.
And close my eyes and start channeling magic, trying to find that connection.
Wait. Yeah. You close your eyes and begin to pull magic in. Like you've done with Darmé before, but this time doing it on your own. And in your hands, the wheel of a ship forms. And you force the image of that astral boat to reality. You make it happen because you are visualizing it. And in a moment, you hear a step on the deck of the ship. And Kasira steps into this dream with you. And as she does so, magic bursts in every direction and fills out the rest of the boat and that astral sea that surrounds you both. And in the distance, you once again see the island.
Yeah. Is the sea calm? Is it, like, stormy?
Alarmingly so. And there is no wind in this world. The boat sort of just goes as you will it. And of course, like, you know that in reality, on a perfectly placid sea, boats don't go places. But you are able to make it go in the direction of the island, or not the island if you want to try that, I don't care.
I'd like to go to the island. I'd like to pull up as calmly as possible. Okay. I don't want to scare the train.
You do that. You sail towards the island, and even here in the distance, you can see on that tiny little scrap of land, nothing more than a small beach and some trees, is a sitting figure you recognize to be Arlay.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say you pull the boat to a stop, and you are both able to disembark. And unlike last time where the boat simply vanished, you are able to actually pull it to a stop and disembark.
Yeah. And I think I walk down, trying to stay like in contact, physical contact with Kasira to make sure nothing.
Yeah, she's sticking close. She's, I'm gonna say like an expression you've never seen on her before. She's astounded at whatever the fuck is happening. In particular, the stars she seems very fixated on. And when, as an astrologer and someone that has sailed before, yeah, there are a lot of stars here. Way the fuck more than in our reality where the stars have been literally eaten. It is a full, brilliant, beautiful night sky here.
Would I know what the night sky looked like before the sky eater?
That information is flat out lost to history.
Okay. Oh, amazing. And I say, yeah, you never really get used to it.
No, I suppose not. I haven't seen that many stars in thousands of years.
Thousands, jeez.
Yeah, she is several thousand years old.
Yeah, no, just before even the Sky Eater.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I think slowly walk towards the figure.
It is Arlay. And it is the same Arlay you had seen last night, technically. It is this twisted version of Arlay, somewhere in between herself in her prime, which you had seen here before, and the tree monstrosity you spoke to in the dream, with roots and that crystal structure has already sort of grown and taken hold of her, but not fully consumed her. And she turns.
Why are you here?
She had some questions for you. Take it away.
Take it away!
Kasira turns to you and goes, what are you talking about?
Have you not? This is Arlay. This is a version of Arlay.
And Kasira looks around like that one meme from Reservoir, from Pulp Fiction, and is like, what are you talking about?
Oh, shit. She can't see you, can she? Same to Arlay.
And Arlay says, who can't see me?
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
I'll sit down, maybe like 2 meters away from Arlay. I'll say, Kasira, come here.
And I'll say,
you can't see her, but I do. She's right in front of me. And I guess you can't hear her, but say what you need to say, and I can speak through. You can speak through me. If we need to.
Okay, I like this. I'm just gonna speak for Kasira, and then I'll say that you can transcribe it at breaks.
Yeah.
Kasira sits and seems a bit confused at this, but looks where you direct her to where Arlay is.
I grew to resent you a lot after you left us. I thought of you as a close friend. I thought of a lot of people as close friends, but in a life like mine, that sort of thing is a bit muddied by the fact that I will be alive long after you will. Arlay, you died at Kinmar.
because you never came back to us because you spent far too long chasing Croft. And now you're here clinging on to win. Why? And you ask this, and I'm going to say you say the whole thing to Arale. And Arale speaks to you, Wynn. He saved you, Wynn. And she gestures to the water. And I can't imagine why. You're not the hero she's hoping for. You're just the last thing she's holding on to. Can I have a Arcana check, Wynn?
Yes. Yes, you can. Ooh, 12?
In the water, where you might see you see your own reflection, because it is a weird mirror water situation. There is a reflection of the Arale that sits here on the beach. However, it is not the real Arale, for lack of a better word. It's the prime Arale that you had met here before on the beach, who spoke to you jovially, not the tree Arale that sits before you.
I understand that you've gone through a lot of changes over past 200 years, but apparently something in you saw me and maybe saw yourself in me. And if I can live up to what you were, then I'll be happy. But I don't know about you sitting here before me, this you. I don't know what I can do for you, but I'll do my best.
The water around you in the ocean now begins to move. Waves begin to lap at the shore, and they become not violent, but definitely faster paced than you would assume or had seen prior to, you know, the ship getting wrecked here in the dream before. And the tree Arale speaks to you, but herself. You can't save the world. You're not strong enough. You're not the right one. It's not right. It can't be you. She's just holding on because you're the only thing keeping her alive. And the storm begins to swell up. Clouds roll in and rain starts and big waves begin to lap at the side of the beach. And Kasira stands and extends her hands out, physically pushing magic into this liminal world you find yourselves in, and stops the storm, physically holding it back with magic. And Wynn?
Yeah.
This version of Arale is scared of you.
Of me?
Of you.
She can't see Kasira. Well, she knows she's there, though, because I've been speaking for her.
I'm not telling you that. Keep going.
Oh, fuck. Arale, I know I can't save the world. I can't do it alone, and I can't do it now. But what I can do is help where I can. I can see people in need, and I can do what's available to me. And what I can't do, I have my friends. I have my mentors. I have you, I have Marin, I have Kasira. I have people who can help, and you do too. And maybe eventually we can make a bigger difference, but for now, I see that you're in need of help, and I will do what I can to help you now.
Arale speaks. But not the tree Arale sitting in front of you. She is terrified. Instead, you hear a voice from the water. You hear a voice from the reflection in the water. And while you can't see its face because Arale is sitting away from it, you can hear it as Arale, who says just two sentences to you. If you want to save the world, I need to speak with Marin. And with that, even with Kasira holding it up, the ocean collapses, and you open your eyes and you are back in Darmay's office.
So,
and I need to take a piss.
So we're gonna take a real quick break, and then
she's holding back two things.
Okay. Once we're out, I want to say, well, thank you for holding it up. But it seems I didn't. We weren't quite able to answer your question. So I will tell you what I saw back in Stay, and I'll relay the memory to her as well.
Right. You two talk for a while about A, what happened in Stay, and B, what happened just now. And Kasira, unlike Darmay, is able to explain a bit more.
Great.
The only other person I've known that's been able to connect at that level to just the magic of the world was Raviom. For some reason, Arle, even in death, has connected some of her magic to you, and I believe she is using that to cling onto the world. And then, did you tell her the thing about needing to speak with Marin?
I think yes.
Yeah. And at that, Kasira is confused and concerned because she explains, Marin has not had a connection to magic in a very, very long time.
Well, that might just be the key. And with that, we can end.
You mentioned earlier you wanted to say/do something. Hit me with it.
Yeah. Who's in charge of prisons?
What kind of prison?
Well, who would be in charge of the kind of prison that would hold someone who created a type of crystal that was deemed super illegal and whose name is Philo Carmire?
Hot dog. That would be any like super magic criminals is going to be the Shadow Guard.
Damn it. Unfortunate. I'm not reaching out to the person who told me not to reach out to them.
Yeah. Off to the sad decision.
Start DMing some fucking...
Send some eggplants, you know? Eggplants,
yeah.
Technically, the prince has these in honor... has the title. I don't know if he's in the mood to listen to me, if I can even get close to him.
So here's what I'm also gonna say. The next line I'm about to read when we get back to like the main plot here is nearly 2 weeks pass. So I'm gonna say this bit you're about to do takes place in that 2 week span. And I'm gonna say if you wanted to go speak to Vessler, who would of course have connections to the prince, but also has connection to just the government in general, he would be someone you could speak to. Other than that, yeah, I would say Taya Flair, and if you could find a way to talk to the prince, yeah, surely. Marin also has connections in the Shadow Guard.
Is there? Oh.
Eggplant it up, my dude.
Are you going to, like, let us say what we're going to do over the, like, the 2 weeks or something like that? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any chance of me having a conversation with the prince? Or am I going to be blocked by red tape / guard / him just not wanting to see me?
Let me say it like this. On the day of, like this, when all this shit's happening, even if you waited outside to talk to the prince.
Oh no, I mean, it wouldn't happen the day of, yeah. Hell
yeah.
No.
Yeah, like they're not having it. And so at a later date, it's feasible you could get someone to like make that connect, but I don't think you have a prior person who would be able to get you that connection like outside of like a named character. Like you don't have anyone in your backstory that would like have an in at the palace.
No, God, no. I come from a small town.
I would say as far as Ash knows, for particularly the prince, your best bet would be to talk to Vessler.
Okay.
For just Shadowguard jails in general, Vessler or Marin's probably about even.
I'm gonna try and talk to Vessler then.
Okay.
Before or after I drag his ass to the infirmary?
So I'll say like during this 2 week break period you're gonna have before more stuff happens. Vessor is mostly confined to the infirmary. He is suspended from his job. But he also, you know, doesn't live here. He has a house, but spends a lot of time here. So,
damn, bitch, you live here? You live like this?
And then over, I'm gonna say 8 days after all the fuckery happens, Vessler returns to his office and is no longer just sitting in the infirmary all day. Now, he is suspended from his job. However, he is only suspended from the noble part of his job. He still has to handle the finances because Marin took two looks at it and said, abso-fucking-lutely not. So part of his punishment is still having to do the financial part of his job. Marin's bad at this. We've been over this. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, at some point after that 8-day span, you go in and talk to Vessler. And he's like, oh, thank God. Someone else to talk to. Jesus fucking Christ. I'll just use the generic guild image. Yeah, you go in and talk to Vessler, and he is delighted to see you.
Hey, Vessler, remember when we had those planet and all those people killed? I don't know why I said that. Alistair when I said that.
The fuck? Is that so offensive to me? Why would you do that? I'm so offended right now.
I don't know why I made that big joke in an Alistair accent.
I loved it. It's alternate dimension Alistair's like, what the fuck?
I'm a German owl now.
The very first thing that Vessler says to you is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I ever listened to Alec here. I'm sorry that I ever put any of you at risk, particularly Darme, but any of you at risk. It was a terrible idea.
Vessler, I'm the last person. Don't worry about apologizing to me. It wasn't my idea, but I certainly helped bring it to fruition. I won't say I share the exact same blame, but I'm not the person you need to apologize to. We have bigger things to worry about than what happened.
I suppose our mistakes make us. How can I help you?
I need to see if I can locate a certain prisoner. And this would be someone who's imprisoned by the Shatter Guard. And as someone with connections, I thought I might speak to you first about the matter.
I mean, pulling government records is right up my alley, as it were. Certainly, I can make that happen. What is the name?
The name is Philo Carmire.
He goes to write that down, and he makes a face. That name is vaguely familiar, and not just because Philo is also the Emperor's name.
Weird coincidence.
Because Chris fucked up and didn't cross a name off of the saving throw D&D NPC list, so somebody got twice. Good for you.
Oh, I thought you really just liked Philo, though.
Yeah. Nope, Philo got two. Hey, Philo, we'll be expecting your updated pledge in the Patreon. Thank you.
Also, Philo, if you could send some baklava, that'd be cool. You know, the dough, the Philo dough.
Philo pastry, yes. Used to make many things, including baklava. Took me a while, but I get it.
I love what you're doing here. I want to figure out how much I want to lean into it. What time are we at? 2.5 hours? Okay. Vessler writes the name down. I will pull some strings and call in some favors from people who don't especially want to hear from me. And see what we can do about finding this name. And we're going to pause on that and we're going to come back to you because we have time to spend. First, so that's going to be the first bit for Ash. I'm going to read a thing now. Nearly 2 weeks pass before you are all once again summoned to the guild office. Time out. 2 weeks have just passed. Does anyone have anything particular they wanted to do in the city, in the guild, just wanted to say what they were doing in this time? Yada, yada, yada. Micro intermission here.
I would like to treat Les as my adoptive grandmother. Not that she adopted me, but I adopted her.
Uh-huh.
and trying to figure out how she made a giant shield of light. That's my mission now.
I'll say, yeah, over the time, you spend a little bit of time with Les. However, at some point, she does leave the capital to return home. But I will say before that, you talk with Les and you ask about, hey, that was the biggest shield I've ever fucking seen, and your boy likes shields. And Les explains to you, I'm not doing the voice, my third heart's, that she doesn't know how she learned to cast it in the first place. Mm. She just did when she absolutely needed it the most. And the first time she cast it, it wasn't that big. But she casted it when she needed to protect people she cared about. And then every time she needed to do that again, it would happen, and it would be stronger than it was the last time. Mm. However, in her advanced age, she was not prepared that it would take more and more out of her on every single cast. Mm-hmm. I will also give you a history check, Jennifer.
Okay.
Why is it always happens?
It's either a nat 1 or a nat 20, and this time it's a nat 1.
I can't give you much about that. Les tells you a bunch of stories from when she was younger as a hero, and with a nat 1, I don't know. Sure. With basic logic, some of her stories about being a hero predate even the Sky Eater attacking. That's all I can give you on that one.
Yeah. It's everything, so I'm shocked.
And yes, at some point in the 2 weeks, as people try to return to some sense of normalcy, Les has a city to, or I guess a town, to protect and a vineyard to go back to, so she returns home.
I was just saying.
Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
If, like, you know how they have, like, cut, like, during this intermission, they have, like, stills of, like, what the person would be doing.
Yes, that's exactly what I like.
One of the nights would be probably one of the earlier nights. I would be, like, sitting in, like, you know, like, my quarters or something like that. You can only see, like, gloves. You can't, like, you're seeing, like, an over, like, the shoulder shot of, like, Chiron looking at the bell, really, like, hardcore, like, contemplating, like, ringing it. As he's doing it, he has like the locket that he keeps in his hand, and he puts his like hand over the locket. He's like, and then just like shakes his head over and over again, like about like if he wants to ring it or not. And then like it just cuts away from that. Like, but he just keeps like whenever he thinks about ringing it, he always just stops and just keeps not going for it. So would be one of the moments, I think. And then the rest of it probably. If we were actually like actively doing anything, I'd be probably trying to check in on Darme, that she's if they allow people visitors or anything. But
I'll talk about Darme in a second. Let's talk about Darme now. Yes. Also, in this 2 weeks' time, Kasira returns to the academy eventually, and yes, Darme returns to her job here at the guild, as the Echelor of Light Magic, and also just the representative of the Mages College in general, and. One of the first people she seeks out is you, Chiron. And there's no big overture here. She just wanted to thank you.
Honestly, if it's not inappropriate, I'd like to give her a hug.
She will accept that hug.
Okay.
And because she's a half-orc and tall as half-elf, half-orc, she's tall as fuck, so you get picked up a little bit.
I don't care. I probably hug her better than anybody I've hugged in a while. Like, it's...
I thought you were saying, I probably hug her better than anyone's hugged her before, and I was like, no damn, saying. Okay, Chiron's got the good hugs, all right.
I just overcome and just, like, hug her, and just, like, kind of, like, don't explain it. I'm just, like, don't even, like, say anything, just hug her.
And, Chiron getting big ups, you know?
And she doesn't say anything either. You two just share a good moment. Winter, Alistair, anything before I go back to Ash?
So I think I spend most of my time, like, poring over what books I have for, like, magical training. Like, shit went wrong last time. I want to make sure I am ready for the next time. And I also want to ask you specifically about scroll scribing. Is that a thing we can do? There are optional rules for it, but they're optional rules, so it's up to you how you want to run it.
Sorry, what are you asking me? Scroll scribing? Oh, like scroll making a magical scroll?
Yeah.
What in particular did you want to do with that?
I just wanted to make, like, a revivify scroll.
Revivify is the 3-minute one?
Yeah.
I'm going to say you'd have to buy the components from Blackout Billy, but that is a thing you could do.
Yeah, sure. Great.
And if you want to say you do that during this time period, that's totally fine as well. What's your money looking like? Because I don't remember what my own fucking money is for that.
So, I have 463. In the optional rules, a third level spell is 500 GP and 1 work week. So, I can do something else. But
I'll say you need that 500 cash for Blackout Billy.
Yeah, okay. So, in that case, I'll just do my scrolls and shit, or my studying and shit, and I don't think anything revolutionary. I'll keep this in mind for next time.
Cool. And I want to have you talk to Marina, obviously, but I'm also trying not to spend too much time on any individual bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of individual bits, Ash, hello.
Yes.
You return to the office of Lord Vessler, who is still suspended, even as we near the day you guys are approached back to the guild office. He calls you here. And as you enter, Ash, what did you need Philo Carmyr for?
Put it simply, Philo Carmyr is, as of right now, the only link I have between the only avenue of research I have into these new crystals that are popping up everywhere, because he was the first person to create anything like this.
So, I reached out to my brother, who is an admiral in the Navy. I used an illegal amount of snooping to get this following information. Philo Carmyr is supposed to be in a prison in Vega.
In Vegas? Damn.
Las Vegans? They changed it to Las Vegans because there's so many vegans there. That joke's for no one. That is an incredibly niche YouTuber joke.
Okay, nice.
If anyone got that, shout out to you. He is supposed to be in a prison in Vega run by the Shadow Guard. However, I had some associates of mine go to investigate. His prison cell lies empty. I dug through every record I could find, and it seems a Philo Bearmeyer was transferred out of that prison without approval and was placed on a Shatterguard ship. That Shatterguard ship made its way to a town called Bright Harbor. And he looks at you.
Fuck.
And was found sunk off of the coast at a later date.
Fuck.
Fuck. Ashball dropping.
Also, Philo Bearmeyer is the laziest fake name.
I want to be clear. They literally changed a capital K to a capital B. These motherfuckers.
That's just a typo. That's not even that they changed it. That's literally just a typo.
Also, for how I'm imagining this, they literally like took a quill and wrote over the K to make it into a B. Like they just looped the top and the bottom and are like, good night.
Well, to be entirely honest, I'm not surprised in the slightest that someone removed his knowledge from the world.
Ash.
To know that it was the curve at the very Bright Harbor where I was once at is eerie. A very eerie coincidence.
Ash, to be clear, I suspect the same people who quote-unquote sunk this ship are the same people that took all of those crystals off of it, barring the one that is in your pocket right now. I suspect Philo Carmyr is still alive, and the sinking of the ship is merely a cover-up.
That is a good point. That is the alternate explanation. He was either too dangerous to be left alive, so he was killed, or, as you have correctly pointed out, he was broken out of...
Alive.
He was, yes, he was broken out of prison in an inside job, potentially an inside job. Well,
it's just like 9/11.
God damn it.
Who said that? Well, Vester, I appreciate that bit of information. It's disappointing to have my plans dead-ended there, but once again, I had a sneaking suspicion he was not going to be easily located. But it does at least confirm that he is the direct link between the initial research into crystals and these new energy-reproducing crystals that are out there.
I will have my associates keep looking and see if anything can be dug up. But I have a sinking suspicion we are chasing the very same Shatterers we're chasing in the other case, that being like TL.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, and I appreciate the effort nonetheless.
And now to bring us all back in.
Good. Alice just spent some time trying to draft up a letter to send to his dad.
Okay.
He Ooh. Would constantly procrastinate every single way to get out of writing it. But I'll say before whatever mission we get sent off on, I'll send one not trying to make contact with him, but giving him an avenue to send letters to me if he would like to.
Okay. So to be clear, this is an invitation to send correspondence back and forth and not an invitation to have a conversation.
Correct. Yeah, not in person.
Yeah, well, that.
I will allow you to talk to me.
I was going to ask if you waited until he would have presumably left the capital, but you answered that question because you procrastinated. So yes, presumably.
Yeah.
That's a better question. Do the Crespris, A, have a house here in the capital? Are they that level of rich?
Yes.
Okay. Do you send it there or do you send it to your house? Like the estate that would be at the your family home.
Wherever I assume my dad would be at the time.
I'm gonna assume the house, like the main home, then in your town or your barony. Yeah, it's a barony. Okay, cool. you're gonna have to prepare something for next intermission, so just brace yourself for that.
Cool.
2 weeks pass, and you are all once again summoned to the guild office. And as you make your way over, the guild has settled back into normalcy. Marin's lockdown of the guild eventually just dwindled to nothing, and people went back on missions. Requests kept coming in, and life continued. And maybe that was the worst thing about it, how quickly things went back to the day-to-day. Let me just find the right art really fast. Cool. And yes, you once again return to the main office of the guild, and now Darmé Ondal has returned to her desk. But, as we know, because Ash has talked to him, Lord Vessler's desk still sits empty. Seeing you all, Darmé seems to stir, putting her book down and... either... I'm not even making a roll, Chiron, because you'd had a moment with her. You notice that she moves as if to say something to you all, but hesitates, and Marin speaks instead. Okay. You're off the bench. She speaks, and can I get a perception check from Junver and Ash?
Eleven.
15.
Ash. Marin looks tired, more so than usual, and her usual overall grumpiness is replaced by a fatigued look. The prince is spreading every resource we have thin as can be, trying to find TL, and I need every hero I can call on. So, you're up. Just be careful. And where normally Vessler would speak, Darmé has to instead. We have recently received a message via a call stone in a small frontier village from the Croyland Principality. Well, in fact, we have received two. And whoever sent them directly to the main stone here at the guild. And unfortunately, this is all we have to go on. And the messages read, well, Darmé pauses with a nervous look on her face and hands the letter over to you. Let me roll a die to see who actually gets to read this. Let me win.
Hello.
I'm going to DM this to you for dramatic effect.
Oh.
Okay.
Darmé seems to not want to read it and therefore hands it over to you, Wynn. Wynn, could you please read the message aloud for the kids at home?
We are here to, we're reaching out to you to talk about your car's extended warranty.
He got us again!
Got him again!
Darmé, this is just 117 eggplant emojis. Also, that's a lot of eggplant emojis, let's be clear! Yes. Darmé pauses, a nervous look on her face, and hands the letter over to you, Wynn. Please read it aloud.
It's just 5 words. Help us. Please, help us.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Saving Throw!
New
phone,
folks,
that's going to be it for this episode of Saving Throw. Next time, we figure out who the fuck sent this cryptic-ass message, and we go out to the frontier of the Empire. You're all handsome. Time for art. A ding, ding, ding.
Frontier is in like ding. Cowboys. That's art. Starting off right this week, Scrat Ratman with "Let's Go, Yay, Let's Go." Won't be able to stay for long, but it's good to see this shit again. Have some Marin for your troubles.
Yeah,
that's a like, good ass Marin.
It's like pissed off fighting TL Marin.
Yeah, yeah, she's having a rough week. Rough life.
Yeah.
She's not had a good time, really, since we joined.
No.
Like, she's not been having a good time.
I would say it started before we...
She's had a rough, like, 100 years.
Yeah.
Gnomes live too long.
Wow. Whoa.
Hey, you know? Hey, gnomes, I said it. Come at me.
As Red Crest with, I made the objection thing template. I made a thing on the objection template that I thought was going to be funnier than here than at the Ace Attorney stream.
Send it in both.
Send it in both. It's free. Yeah, it's free promotion. What's that free from? Hosting. Why is that a big joke?
Plant growth is really, and just Junver going, no, please, God, no.
Yes, Junver's in the fetal position in the corner.
That's really good.
Clutching a shield in his arm.
Saying I wrote an original piece might be a little strong. I just improvised on my Shield Ocarina for a minute while listening to Junver's backstory, and I named it Many Shields. Oh, hell yeah. The original soundtrack.
I'm about to bust.
We'll play this on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Putting the saving throw shirt on your, I'm assuming, OC, by the way.
Yeah, I noticed that in the middle. Right? I was like, oh, that's a good little touch.
I've said really this touch. Before, and I'm going to let the song finish before I talk over it. I've said this before on this show, but the fact that the artwork y'all submit has taken every conceivable form, like audio, crochet, fucking of course traditional like drawing and stuff like that think like the second most rewarding thing of doing the show, other than obviously getting to play D&D with my friends. You're all the most powerful and handsome.
I almost said watch Saving Throw sent in this art.
I commissioned Nez for if it's an important major character, their art's gonna come from Nez. That's pretty standard across the board for us. This is Kasira in her full regalia. Worth noting that the wings, Asamir, I think are cool. I think having wings all the time on like a huge godlike character is like a huge pain.
Oh, I thought that was part of her costume.
That is magic. And when basically Asamir are god creatures, when she pulls a substantial amount of magic, her full godly form begins to appear, and it starts with the wings.
Mm. Yeah.
You also see the lines in her cheeks and the lines in her arms. The same thing. If she's not casting any magic, those aren't there. But when she does, they begin to like brighten up. Yes. Kind of like Aang's things in Avatar.
Yeah.
Tattoos.
Yeah, Aang's tattoos.
Fend the Artsy Envy with, I had a more complete illustration I wanted to post today, but I didn't like it and I didn't finish it. So instead, I have this. My own D&D character, Diana. And Dianya. Alistair are both bards, and so I think they'd be great friends. Yo!
Yeah!
Hell yeah.
I got Emma bards.
Yeah. I love this. I love, like, just using, like, a sticky note to, like, redraw over a part. It's very, very cool.
Also,
Tiefling
bard is, like, one of the top tier OG combinations.
And holy shit, the headmistress is gorgeous. How did I forget her name? God damn it, I had to draw it. Kasira, she's so cool. Yeah, in the bottom left corner. Pretty lady. Ow,
pretty lady.
Hell yeah, this rules. Thank you, Finn. Ultran, with a couple streams late, and Discord destroyed the quality, but I wanted to show something saying Alistair's old last name in a spooky color palette that probably reflects how he feels when he hears that. I love this bard boy. Yo, thank you for this, Ultran.
I can't remember. I can't figure out what this reminds me of. Mm-hmm. Like the color scheme and like the... Oh, Steeplechase, Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the art style for that. Yeah.
No, this is really good. Was today the first time we said his actual name on stream?
No, Vestor said it to you in the first ever intermission.
That's right.
That's the first time since then.
I just assumed that people forgot about it until now.
Oh, this is the thing why I reminded people about like the Tasty Marbar, Errol Mara character. And stuff like that. Like, I don't expect people to remember what happened in fucking two intermissions ago. That's disrespectful to your time as a viewer.
Hey, to be real, every time we start a stream, I pull up the document. I'm like, what is his actual last name? Just in case I need to have it.
That's hilarious.
Razrekras with a song for Chiron. Same way I did with Jenver, this time with my TARDIS ocarina. All right, 1, 2, 3. How it's like a much more somber melody.
Is this from something? Is this like Lord of the Rings?
I don't think so.
It has that feel, but I think it's original.
Yeah.
I don't know if ocarinas are tuned. I don't know how that works. I like the sound of this one more.
They're taking the Chiron to Isengard.
Oh shit, it's called She's Okay too. Oh!
Oh, that's good.
That works for reasons y'all do not know.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's fucking sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Resurrect Chris, it's improvised again. Hell yeah. Very, very good.
Fuck yeah.
Good.
Panic Pang with, I know this is really simple and sorry if I got colors or details wrong, but I hope y'all like it. No, absolutely.
Oh, these are adorable. So
oh, these fucking rule.
They look like they should be pins or stickers. And these, honestly, these we should probably colors. Give Panic Pang money and then make these stickers.
Hell yeah. No, these super rule. Oh shit, and we got some Chrono Wizard coming in. With some sketches based on the last stream and one for the new cowboy character in this session. Yo. Oh,
man. He's fucking Batmaning.
Yeah.
The Masked Avenger. Yeah. Uh-huh.
fucking Joker. Y'all break into this party to steal a treasure?
Who's this Joker?
Looking cool, Joker.
It's really good.
The confused Ash face is very good.
Yeah.
He looks like he hates him.
What?
Tell him I hate him.
What's possible? No one can hate Joker.
And then the last one of the fucking Alistair looking at not Jake Marshall. Real fucking funny, Earl. Very good. I appreciate the pose on that very much. Thank you very much.
The real fucking funny Jake callback is like,
yeah,
crazy.
Oh my god.
Real fucking funny Jake.